Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media panel discussion titled Mitigating the Risks of Adopting Multicore Processors for 40 Gig Telecom Equipment. I'm Kurt Schwader, today's moderator, with speakers Charlie Ashton from Sixwind and Gene Yugnevichus from GE Intelligent Platforms. Today's briefing is scheduled for about 50 minutes, leaving a 10-minute Q&A period at the end. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your audience console. First is there the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fit your entire screen. Clicking the Download Slides button will allow you to download and print the slides if you'd like a copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box and Submit Question buttons allows you to participate in today's eCast. Just type your question into the text box and submit it by clicking on the button. You can submit questions at any time, and we encourage you to do so during the panel discussion because it's fresh in your mind at that point, and then we'll be addressing them in the closing Q&A. If you have a question or problem with the eCast operation itself, just submit it, and one of our technicians will respond to you. During the eCast, you'll see some poll questions pop up. When you see one of these pop-ups, we ask that you please answer the questions by checking the appropriate boxes. Finally, this eCast will be posted online within 24 hours, and an audio podcast will also be made available. More details on this at the end of the presentation. Multicore development is something that's near and dear to my heart. In late 2002, our company embarked on a development project using network processors with the goal of being able to produce products at 1 to 10 gigabit line rates. We launched our first products based on an NPU in 2004. In 2005, the company's roadmap for and our development goals were beginning to diverge noticeably, and in 2006, the company had announced the retirement of their NPU product line we were using, and that left us in a situation where we had to review and select a new multi-core architecture and hardware platform and reinvent our product in a lot of ways. And after a two-year development cycle, we launched our next generation of products based on this new multi-core architecture, and based on a network processor platform coupled with a multi-core Pentium platform. The point is that new disruptive technologies like multi-core are a high-risk, high-reward situation. You can be successful with the new technology, and if you are, you're likely to have a very significant market advantage. However, with new technologies, they can cause headaches like changes, bugs, or shifts in strategic direction as time goes by. This eliminates your competitive advantage and can cost you time and money retooling for your next generation of products. I'm really excited for today's panel discussion because I've got a lot of questions revolving around multicore and 40 gig. That's where our company is headed, and maybe it is for yours too. I've got the opportunity to send the panelists a questions list. They've prepared the material you'll see today that address these questions. And as we go, you submit your questions as well, because I'm sure I haven't covered it all. And while they're fresh in your mind, put them in, and we'll be covering them during the Q&A. Today's panelists are Charlie Ashton and Gene Yugnevichus. Gene is a technologist and architect at GE Intelligent Platforms. He's participated in the PCMIG Advanced MC and Micro TCA committees, currently is an active member at Scope Alliance, and is responsible for new product definition and architecture at GE Intelligent Platforms. He received his MS degree in electrical engineering from Stanford. Charlie Ashton is VP of Marketing and Business Development at Sixwind. He's responsible for Sixwind's global marketing initiatives and manages Sixwind's partnerships worldwide with semiconductor companies, system providers, and embedded software companies. Charlie has extensive experience in the embedded systems industry with his career, including leadership roles in both engineering and marketing at software, semiconductor, and systems companies. So let's get on with the panel discussion here. My first question, maybe Gene can help provide some overview on key trends driving the design of high-performance telecom equipment.
Thanks, Kurt. The easiest way to answer this question is really to look at our everyday realities and consider proliferation of iPhones and other smartphones and how these devices have changed our behavior. Whenever I travel, I do not print a map to the hotel. I just look it up in the Google map on my BlackBerry. When I need the nearest coffee shop, I just search for it in my BlackBerry as well. Today you can watch YouTube, latest newscasts, or even sports events on your mobile device. Not only it is expected that internet access is everywhere and at any time, internet usage is becoming very bandwidth intensive. As a consequence of all this, service providers' infrastructure is becoming oversubscribed, and this is only a beginning. Consider a transition to 4G, which will further increase data rates. Need for more data bandwidth is being quickly propagated from the service providers down to equipment manufacturers and down to board and software suppliers like we are. Advanced TCA's transition from today's 10 gigabit Ethernet interconnect to 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect is a direct consequence of this trend. If we look at some statistics, for example, published by Cisco, you will see that data rate, data bandwidth is growing exponentially, and it's forecasted to grow in the future. This data growth is mostly driven by video and web data applications. Bandwidth growth is only one of the trends that we are seeing. In order to efficiently provision such bandwidth and to support new emerging applications, data traffic processing is changing as well. Charlie, could you comment on this aspect?
So, Gene, one of the key properties of 4G networks is that they're all based on a flat IP architecture. And this means that all of the services running on those networks use IP packets, whether those services be data or voice or video or any other kind of traffic. So because of that, it's very critical to have high-performance packet processing. And that really shows up in three areas. First of all, with low-level protocols such as IPsec, ROHC, and VLAN. Secondly, with protocols that are required for communication between network subsystems. These could be things like GTP, GTPU, and many others. And then finally, in areas of service differentiation, for example, this could be quality of service features which are used to prioritize real-time traffic over pure data. Or it could be in packet inspection kinds of services for identifying user traffic and making decisions based on that traffic. So when we look at the overall requirements for packet processing, there are some challenges that become evident. First of all, approximately or at least 90% of the workload in a 4G network is pure data plane packet processing and forwarding, and 10% or less is control plane signaling. However, it's unfortunate that the overhead within standard operating systems limits the performance of standard networking stacks when they're performing these data plane functions. So in order to get around that constraint, specialized software architectures are required for this data plane packet processing. And also, this high-performance data plane requires the use of processor-specific optimizations within the whole software stack.
Interesting. So that kind of leads to my next question. For telecom applications, I know there's a spectrum of network processors. For those of you who haven't really looked at the market, there are network processors with lots of customized I.O. for specific applications all the way up to just repeating general-purpose cores inside a single piece of silicon. Why do developers choose multi-core processors rather than specialized network processors? Maybe you can give us some insight into that.
Yes, Kurt. I'll give it a shot at answering this question. To start with, I would like to make sure we clearly distinguish the network processor and multi-core processor. Network processors have been around for quite some time, but they have always been associated with the use of specific assembly-like programming languages, which made their programming very difficult and effort-intensive. Network processors used a very specific hardware architecture, which made software migration from one processor type to the other almost impossible. Today's multi-core processors, on the other hand, use standard processor architecture, be it MIPS, PowerPC, or x86, that are being programmed in standard C languages, support standard software libraries, and are able to run standard operating systems such as Linux. Most importantly, though, today's multi-core processors are also able to deliver comparable levels of packet processing performance and make it possible to design application software which is portable to multiple hardware architectures.
Okay. I guess I'd like to kick this back over to Charlie. As I mentioned at the intro, our company had a network processor we were using. Situations arose, and we had to kind of lurch our development from one network processor to a completely different architecture involving an NPU plus a general-purpose multi-core processor like the Pentium class. I know Sixwin does software that might have made that migration easier. Can you explain a little bit about how it does it, and how capable is it for you to be able to maintain the performance you need out of a network processor, multi-core processor, with this portability layer, let's call it?
So, Kurt, it's extremely feasible to be able to meet those requirements, and that's exactly what the Sixwin software does. So Sixwin's software product is called Sixwin Gate, and it's high-performance packet processing software that is highly optimized for multi-core platforms. Architecturally, Sixwin Gate is a drop-in replacement for standard networking stacks, which means that any software that is written to standard APIs will continue to run unchanged when Sixwin Gate is introduced into the system. And Sixwin Gate includes a very comprehensive set of networking protocols, all of which have full support for high availability frameworks so that you can have zero downtime specifications being met for enterprise and telecom equipment. Typically, customers that use the Sixwin Gate software will see somewhere between a 7 to 10 times performance increase in their system performance compared to a system built on a standard operating system network stack. And we've also done various case studies with customers to demonstrate that they can actually bring products to market up to 12 months quicker using this software solution. So I think it's, in general, the answer to your question is it's very feasible to meet the kinds of challenges that you outlined.
Okay, how well does the software accommodate special functions internal to, say, a network processor like, you know, optimized Ethernet controllers or crypto devices or whatever might be on chip?
Well, when we speak about performance, there are really two aspects that we need to cover. There are two reasons why multi-core processors are able to achieve very high packet processing performance. One, they use extensively a hardware offload and acceleration engines. And two, they support flexibility to use individual processor cores for processing offload. So when we look at hardware acceleration perspective, I would like to share with you a block diagram of the Cavium Octeon 2 packet processor. Octeon, as well as other multi-core processors, make extensive use of hardware offload and acceleration engines, such as encryption engines, compression engines, expression search engines, packet parsing and scheduling blocks, etc. These hardware-based acceleration devices enable to increase performance of some key processor-intensive tasks. When we go to the second aspect of performance, which is multiprocessor ability to allocate specific cores to run specific tasks. Each multi-core processor vendor provides its own so-called bare metal operating system, which is designed to pose a minimal processing overhead and be extremely efficient at packet processing tasks. In multi-core processors, individual cores can run specific offload applications based on such bare metal operating systems. And consequently, specific common tasks such as IP forwarding, network address translation, packet tunneling, etc., can be offloaded to specific processor cores, resulting in very high performance. Obviously, designing applications that would take advantage of such offloading is quite complex, but this is where SixWind software comes in, which takes advantage of hardware accelerators and task offload capability, providing high performance and also giving user an abstraction layer.
That's a good, interesting point. Let's kick this back to Charlie then, and I'm pretty familiar with like the Cavium Octeon you're talking about, where we have requirements in our device, and maybe the audience does too, where you're using their RegEx piece to do string scanning, or maybe the crypto accelerators to do some IPsec stuff. Can you provide a little more insight, Charlie, into how specific software API support would be implemented for a crypto accelerator?
Yeah, so Kurt, when we look at the architecture of the SixWind Gate multi-core networking stack, first of all, it's divided into a control plane and a data plane. That's a fairly traditional split that you would see in any networking software product. But the data plane is then further subdivided into the networking stack, which runs under the operating system, typically Linux, and the fast path, which actually runs on bare metal outside of the operating system. And the vast majority of the high-performance packet processing features are implemented and performed within the FastPath, and that's one way that the software provides the performance increase compared to a standard networking stack. So when we look at the support for crypto engines, as you mentioned, we actually support crypto engines through a couple of different interfaces into the FastPath software. The first interface is into generic code, which in this case we're illustrating as the IPsec module. Obviously, the IPsec needs to interface to the crypto engine, and that's a high-performance interface that we provide. But we also have elements within our FastPath that are specific to the individual multi-core architectures. We happen to call the interface to those architectures FPN SDK, which stands for FastPath Networking SDK. And basically, there's one of those blocks for each of the processor architectures that we support. So in this case, for the crypto engine support, the crypto engines are interfaced both into the generic IPsec module and also into the architecture-specific FPN SDK module. The end result of this is that the SixWind Gate stack can make full use of the crypto engines within the multi-core processors and can exploit all of the features that those crypto engines provide to maximize the overall system performance.
See, the next question I had was multi-core processing and the risks. I mean, I outlined some in the initial, but I'd like to hear from Gene a little bit about what other kinds of risks might be involved when you're deciding to go to a multi-core processor for a telecom product and need to meet 40 gig.
Sure, Kurt. One of the big risks that customers are facing is how to select an appropriate multi-core processor hardware architecture.
Thank you for calling Radisson Edwardian Hotels. Please note that calls may be recorded for quality and training purposes. Please choose from one of the following options. Press
looks,
1 for bedroom booking,
like gotten,
press 2 for meetings and events booking,
room, so I think maybe
press
we've
3 for all other inquiries.
Issue there. Maybe when Gene calls back, we can get back to the...
Good evening. Thank you for calling the Radisson Edwardian. So to keep you waiting, how may I get your call?
We need... I'm not sure what room number. We'll have to call. We'll have to call him back. Maybe we can kick it back into SixWind here. Charlie, can you talk about the risks from the software perspective, and then maybe when we get Gene back on, we could talk about the hardware side?
Yeah, certainly, Kurt. So I think that the question to address here is, you know, what does SixWind do within the optimized networking software to mitigate some of the risks in adopting a multi-core processor in a telecom product? So the first issue that we talked about earlier is the issue of portable software support. There's a desire on the behalf of most of the telecom equipment manufacturers to have a common software platform that they can maintain and that they can then have the flexibility to deploy across whatever multi-core architecture is most suited to a specific product. So within the six-win gate architecture, as I mentioned earlier, we actually implement abstractions for the various different processors that we support through this module that we call the FastPath Networking SDK or the FPN SDK. And this enables us to have processor-independent protocols, which we maintain as part of the generic section of the six-win gate stack, that can then exploit processor-specific optimizations that we implement in these FPN SDK modules, which make full use of the multi-core execs that typically come from the processor manufacturer. So, for example, Cavium has their Cavium Simple Exec or SE Exec, and the others, as shown here, have theirs. So this is a very scalable software architecture because the vast majority of the six-win gate stack is based on generic code, which we can then evolve. And we isolate the processor-specific aspects into these abstraction layers, the FPN SDKs. This makes it straightforward for us to implement additional architecture support as new architectures come along that are appropriate in this marketplace, while at the same time continuing to evolve the generic code within the stack.
Okay.
So the second challenge that that we talked about earlier is the challenge of how do you do performance testing as part of your development cycle before you make a processor selection. This is a very common requirement for telecom equipment manufacturers. And we provide within the six-win gate architecture full support for customers who want to do that. The way we facilitate that is we provide customers with a pre-built binary that's configured for their choice of whichever multi-core processor they want to use, whichever reference board they're basing their design on, the operating system that they've selected, and the multi-core executive that comes along with that processor. We provide the customers with a complete pre-built binary evaluation. And then they can go in and they can run their own test suites that match whatever specific system requirements they have that are related to their specific project.
Okay. So how accessible is the API? Can I use it directly to be as a thin layer on the crypto, just above the crypto, all the way up through hooking it up as a Linux device driver, getting at the TCP layer, those kinds of things?
So a standard Linux stack, a standard Linux application or a standard Linux stack is going to run unchanged from the user point of view.
Uh-huh.
Because the six-win gate stack essentially replaces certain elements of the Linux networking stack, then the actual internals of six-win gate are transparent to that application. So if the user has legacy code or has, you know, commercial stacks, they don't need to be rewritten and re-verified when the six-win gate stack is brought into the architecture.
I see. Okay. I understand Gene is back, so let's push back to hear any concluding thoughts on the risks involved with multi-core processors from a platform perspective. Gene?
Yes, I have to apologize. I'm calling from the hotel, and they chose to drop me. So, yes, I'm back. And let me get back to the risks involved in choosing and working with the multi-core processors. And one of the big risks that customers are facing is how to select an appropriate multi-core processor hardware architecture. And, you know, one of the key steps in this selection process is really a performance estimate. But the problem is that in order to achieve a high performance levels, application needs to take a full advantage of hardware acceleration engines and capability to offload tasks to cores that run bare metal operating system. Furthermore, to have a fairly accurate performance test, portions of the key protocols need to be implemented. And this translates to significant engineering effort. And keep in mind that all this effort is prior to even finalizing which hardware will be eventually used for development. Risk or aspects of working with a multi-core processor is that you know, as mentioned before, in order to achieve the high performance levels, applications need to utilize hardware acceleration engines and bare metal operating systems. Interfacing directly with these elements in the hardware make applications hardware architecture specific and dependent, and that creates a difficulty to migrate from one architecture to the other. Consequently, the users are becoming exposed to this risk, such as silicon availability. And if you look at the recent history, you will see that, you know, many, quite few silicon devices have been experiencing schedule slips, and that creates a difficulty to stay on schedule and track your release cycles. One other risk is that due to being locked in, there is an uncertainty in the future silicon roadmap. Every customer wants to use the best available silicon for his application. However, competitive landscape changes with each successive generation of the processors, and having difficulty to migrate from one different from one architecture to another could become a significant problem at some time in the future.
Right. Maybe you can continue along those lines with the performance requirements. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about telecom system performance requirements.
Sure. Let me just figure out the right slide.
I think there's also a poll question coming up for our audience.
There we go. Yeah, we're back on track. So in telecom systems today, standard advanced DCA form factor plays a dominant role. And currently, advanced DCA systems mostly use 10 gigabit Ethernet interconnect to connect individual blades. However, due to exponential traffic growth, advanced DCA is now transitioning to 40 gigabit Ethernet connectivity. And keep in mind that this is a connectivity between each blade and the chassis switch. Now, considering that a typical ATC chassis can support up to 16 slots, and two of those slots are being used for the switches, total ATC chassis bandwidth is about 560 gigabits per second. To further complicate the issue, the telecommunications industry and telecom applications tend to use very small packet sizes, and typically performance requirements are based on the smallest 64-byte packet size. Therefore, the real processing bottleneck is no longer bits per second, but rather a packets per second. To illustrate this a little bit further, consider a 40 gigabit Ethernet link. When using 64-byte packets, one can push through roughly 60 million packets per second, and that is a lot of packets to be processed. The other processing challenge that telecom systems are facing is level and type of required processing. As mentioned before, all communications are converging to Ethernet and IP, and this results in number of protocols being encapsulated one into another. For example, take a session initiation protocol, SIP, and which uses TCP or UDP, which in turn uses IP, and which in turn uses Ethernet. To make the matter even more complicated, telecommunications carriers tend to further encapsulate packets by using MAC and MAC and similar features. Keep in mind that such extensive encapsulation is coupled with high packet throughput, and consequently, packet processing equipment needs to be very efficient when parsing deep into the packet headers. One other aspect of parsing the packet header is that voice and video communications are very latency sensitive. However, they are using the same Ethernet and IP communication infrastructure as the rest of your data traffic. As a result, voice and video packets need to be identified and to treat it with higher priority function, which again depends on efficient packet header parsing. Finally, in order to diagnose, debug, and maintain communications at 40 gigabit data rates, one needs to be able to have full visibility into what is going on in the network. And to see how the bandwidth is being utilized, what protocols are being used, and to what extent. This is once again a function of efficient packet parsing and deep packet inspection. The third key performance requirement is related to security and privacy concerns. Global connectivity elevates security concerns to the new level. More and more data communications need to be encrypted and protected. Number of new and revised standard protocols now depend on data being encrypted. Encryption and decryption operation is very processor cycle intensive and needs to be offloaded to hardware acceleration engines. One other aspect is that global connectivity also elevates the threat of network attacks and viruses. In order to secure the system from viruses, data streams need to be searched for specific data patterns, operation which is best done when offloaded to regular expression search engines. Most of these processing challenges affect both hardware and software architecture. Charlie, could you comment on the challenges you see from the software side? I hope you didn't cover this already when I was offline.
Yeah, no, Gene, we didn't get to this before, so this is the right time to talk about this. So, as we mentioned earlier, all IP networks require very high-performance packet processing. But unfortunately, a standard operating system cannot sustain multiple 10-gig streams of complex network traffic, especially the kind of traffic that requires deep inspection in order to implement advanced services. The problem is that a standard OS networking stack makes use of operating system services, and the performances of those services is limited by factors such as preemptions, threads, timers, locking, and other restrictions. And the bottlenecks include layer 1, layer 2, CPU cache misses, pipeline mispredictions, and a number of hardware factors. So when you look at a graph of performance that's achieved against the number of cores used, what you see with a standard operating system is that that curve quickly plateaus and you're not able to get the linear increase in performance that you need as you use more and more cores to run the packet processing. What's required is to have high-performance packet processing software assisting the operating system in order to get the kind of scalability that you need for these high-performance telecom systems. And so there's some significant operating system-related design challenges when you start looking at doing this kind of packet processing. When you look at alternatives for how to implement the high-performance packet processing, one of the very important factors is an operating system network stack provides known stable APIs for the applications to run on. And it's very important that whatever strategy you formulate retains these standard APIs, because that minimizes the development time for all of the projects and ensures full compatibility with legacy software and whatever commercial products, software products may be being brought into the system. It's not feasible to develop a complete packet processing function in an executive environment outside the operating system. The reason for that is a modern IP networking stack is very much more complex than the original stack, which was just IP, UDP, and TCP. So it really wouldn't make sense to try to develop all of the packet processing function outside of the operating system. Similarly, it's not efficient to have the complete networking stack running in an executive environment, because only the processing that's performed on each packet has to be improved. There's no point in trying to accelerate the processing of complex signaling protocols in an executive environment. This is only a small fraction of the overall traffic, so the system performance benefit from doing that would be negligible. So what the industry has found is that the optimum solution to this is to have fast path-based acceleration of the key data plane protocols that actually contribute to the overall performance of the system.
Okay. So can you give us some specific information or example on how 6 WinGate does address these deficiencies in the regular OS stack?
Yeah, so this diagram shows how the 6 WinGate software is configured on a multi-core processor to maximize the packet processing performance of the system. So first of all, a single core, or potentially more cores, but at least one core within the processor will be configured to run the Linux operating system together with the control plane and the networking stack. And then the user is able to configure as many of the additional cores as makes sense to run the fast path processing. And typically that fast path processing will run on a multi-core exec provided by the processor supplier. So the fast path runs completely outside the operating system, and that maximizes the performance of the data plane packet processing applications. And the user is then able to calculate exactly how many cores are required to run the fast path in the knowledge that the performance is going to scale linearly in terms of the number of cores that are actually configured to run that fast path. Now, when we look at this a little bit further, we look at the complete set of protocols that typically would be provided by a company like 6WIND and would be used in telecom equipment. And those protocols divide into functions that will need to run in the control plane, functions that are applicable to be in the networking stack, and functions that should run as part of the fast path. And the analysis that you go through in figuring out where to run those protocols is to figure out which modules contribute the most to the overall system performance, and then to locate those modules within the fast path to provide the highest system performance. And that's the way the protocols and the modules are structured within the whole 6 WinGate stack.
Okay, so when I'm looking at the previous and this slide, then you're saying that the 6 WinGate boxes running on multiple cores on the previous slide implement the peer-to-peer communication for all these fast path protocols, and then when and as needed can shovel the other packets up through the Linux IP stack for, quote, standard socket-to-socket application programs?
Well, that's correct. It's only the exception packets that are going to go up the complete operating system.
Okay.
Stack. The vast majority of packets will be processed in the fast path. And as a result of that, typically we'll see up to a 10x performance improvement compared to a standard Linux networking stack. And this would be on all of the networking protocols that are important for this kind of telecom equipment. You know, for example, IP forwarding, IPsec, and others. And the performance improvement here, as you mentioned, Kurt, is entirely due to the fast path implementation of the data plane. As we mentioned earlier, it's very important that the performance scales linearly with the number of cores that are running the fast path. And the 6 WinGate software architecture is designed to ensure that does happen. And again, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we actually provide evaluation licenses for clients so they can run their own benchmarks, because every telecom equipment manufacturer will have their own set of performance metrics that they want to run. So we make it very easy for them to do that on a packaged binary that we provide as part of the process of supporting them. So this is just a typical example here of the kind of performance that we'll see in an LTE environment using 6 WinGate, because obviously what really matters in that environment is not just, you know, the performance on, say, IP forwarding, but it's metrics that are relevant to service providers, such as, for example, you know, how many active users can you support on a given processor. So we've done some analysis that show that using the 6 WinGate software, you can support up to 62,000 active LTE users on an 8-core processor. And that processor would then be configured with 7 of the cores running the fast path and a single core running Linux and the control plane and the standard networking stack. And when we do this kind of analysis, you know, we assume a fairly complex workload that's very representative of LTE traffic. So for example, when we ran these numbers, we built them around a workload comprising VLAN functions, IP forwarding, GTPU tunneling, flow accounting, and quality of service conditioner functions. This is all very representative of what a service provider would deploy in a real network.
Yeah, it scales to capacity very nicely, it looks like. I guess I'm getting all my questions answered. I've got a couple left. Maybe we can kind of move through these in the next 8 minutes so that we can get to user questions, because I'm sure there are some out there. So we've talked about kind of hardware / software platforms. Let's talk about GE and Sixwind in particular. Gene, maybe you can talk a little bit about where GE uses Sixwind software.
Certainly. From GE perspective, the Sixwind Gate software enables our customers to take a full advantage of high-performance features that we implement in our designs. We have a number of customers who chose to use GE boards and Sixwind software in order to simplify their programming environment, accelerate their time to market, and achieve high performance. One of such examples is a board shown in the picture. This is a packet processor advanced TCA blade. We call it 825800, and it utilizes two Cavium Octeon Plus multi-core processors. Sixwind software has been ported onto this blade and can be made available for evaluation. One other product, which is a very recent a blade that has been tested with Sixwind software, is advanced TCA blade, which has two Intel x86 Westmere class processors called A10200. Finally, besides ATCA blades, Sixwind software has also been ported and is being used on a number of advanced AMC and PCI Express form factor packet processing modules, which are based on Cavium Octeon multi-core processors. Back to you, Kurt.
Okay, well, that's interesting. How about these platforms from the software perspective, Charlie? Do you have any sort of comment on the performance?
Yeah,
the runtime architecture?
Yeah, certainly, Kurt. So when we look at the runtime architecture of the A10200, it corresponds a lot to what I talked about a few minutes ago. So the A10200 is running on an Intel Xeon processor E5638. This is a six-core processor, and in the system that Gene described, one core is configured to run Linux, and that's also running the Sixwind Gate control plane, the networking stack, and the LTE or WiMAX stack that the customer would deploy on the product. Then the remaining five cores are configured to run the Sixwind Gate FastPath. In this case, the FastPath is making use of services provided by the multi-core execution environment from Intel, which is called the Intel Data Plane Development Kit, or DPDK. So this architecture tracks exactly the concepts that we explained a few minutes ago, and this is the way to extract the highest performance from the A10200 hardware platform.
Okay. Do you have any specific examples of performance levels that you can achieve using these x86 platforms?
Yeah, I guess I can show you some of the data that we have collected. We have a Sixwind Gate software that we recently ran on our A10200 advanced TCA blade, which is based on dual Intel x86 Westmere processors. For comparison reasons, same functionality has also been tested using a standard Red Hat Linux Enterprise Edition. We used smallest 64-byte packets, which were sent to the blade, and the blade performed IP forwarding function and sent those packets out on the adjacent Ethernet interface. When you look at the results, you see that by using Sixwind Gate software, we were able to achieve about 10x performance increase over the Linux implementation. And I would like to use this example to reiterate once again the importance of actual performance testing. Application performance can vary greatly depending not only on the hardware architecture, but also on the operating system and protocol stack choices. I believe there is a lot of value in providing our customers not only the variety of hardware blades, but also an integrated software product. Charlie, what is your take on this?
So Gene, when we look at the key benefits here of this collaboration, I think there's a number of factors that we've talked about here during the webinar. First of all, what we've described is a broad range of high-performance telecom solutions for 40 gig systems that are very applicable for OEMs that have, you know, aggressive time-to-market challenges. First of all, we've talked about how this collaboration allows OEMs to maintain a common software platform, which they can then deploy on whichever multi-core hardware platform meets their performance requirements and their schedule requirements. We've talked about how the OEMs are able to reuse their legacy code on these advanced multi-core architectures. We've talked about how they can accelerate their time to market through fully integrated solutions with a very comprehensive set of networking protocols for different telecom applications. And then finally, we've talked about how they can mitigate their system performance risks by running their own custom benchmarks before they finalize their hardware selection. Back to you, Kurt.
Okay, very good. I've had my questions answered. Now it's time for you. We've got questions coming in. Feel free to continue to ask those, and we will try to get to as many as possible. First, let's go with a six-win. How would I get actual performance information for the six-win software on the processor that I'm thinking of using? Maybe you can talk about are there any requirements in terms of specific architectures like MIPS or ARM or whatever, or how do they get specific performance information for them?
Well, so, Kurt, as I explained earlier, the six-win gate software is currently available on four different multi-core processor architectures: Intel, Freescale, Cavium, and NetLogic. And we have a wealth of performance information available for different benchmarks running on different on multi-core processors. So if the questioner just wants to contact us, we'll be glad to share with them, you know, the appropriate information for the processor, the platform that they're interested in. And also, as I explained, we make it very easy for our customers to receive an evaluation binary so they can run their own custom benchmarks.
Okay. Question for Gene. There was some mention about ATCA migration to 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect. This question revolves around when do you think it will happen? What are your customers doing with 40 gig right now, or are these just kind of preliminary things?
It's a very good question. It's actually happening as we speak. And, you know, when we talk about 40 gigabits Ethernet in ATCA platforms, there are a number of elements that come into play. And those elements include, you know, the chassis in the backplane availability. It includes switching blades. It includes payload blades. And as we speak, the chassis and the backplanes are actually readily available, and the switch and the payload blades are also starting to show up in the market. So, this transition is occurring as we speak.
Okay. I think I can echo that, too. I know for the products that we're producing, customers are asking for 40 gig and 40 gig interconnect, especially based on the hockey stick in the iPhone, cell phone, you know, LTE usage that's going on. It's got to happen. Otherwise, we won't be able to support the capacity we need. Here's a six-win question about the slide that showed the large number of networking protocols. They want to know which ones might be available for the processor that they want to use. Or can you... Are all of them available for everything, or do they just have to ask you and on specific platforms?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Kurt, and we get that question all the time because there is such a large number of protocols that we provide, and we make it as easy as possible for our customers. When we do a GA release, a six-win gate on a specific processor architecture, we release that full set of protocols as a complete package for that architecture. So the user has, you know, total flexibility in terms of the processor platform that they want to select, with the confidence that all of the protocols that we offer will be available on whatever processor they choose.
Okay. Question for Gene. Performance comparisons. There was one shown between Red Hat Linux and Six Wind software that showed quite low data throughput on Linux. Some benchmarks state 10 gigabit line rate performance. Can you comment on the discrepancy?
That's actually a good question, and it's very common in industry when you look for performance measurements and performance results to actually run the test and to report the data. Very large packet sizes are being used, you know, all the way to 1,500 bytes or even to jumbo packets, jumbo frames. You know, I kind of touched on my slides in my slides before the fact that most telecom applications are really kind of focused on the smaller packet sizes. And in many systems, the packets per second is really the limiting factor as opposed to be bits per second. So when you take the packet size and you reduce that to the smallest packet size, to 64 bytes packet size, you get the most difficult test case. And then the performance drops significantly, and that's why you see you have it where you know I was showing in our measurements. It's certainly far away from having 10 gigabit line rate.
Okay. Charlie, I think you talked about this a little bit in terms of each of those networking protocols that you support. The fact that can you hook in like your own control? Are there APIs that can hook in your own control layer software to each of those six WIN protocols? Like if I want to manage, provide some management or control information on the Linux side, are there APIs for each of these protocols that can be accessed?
Yeah, we actually support standard XMS management systems. And if you use basically any industry standard management system, then that's going to work just fine with our protocols. Again, one of the key aspects to this is that the Six Wind Gate stack is essentially just replacing networking stack elements within the Linux stack. So any Linux application runs unchanged. And we have full compatibility with the management systems that are typically used in telecom systems.
Okay. Gene, I was wondering, you talked about some specific Cavium platforms that you've got. Can you elaborate on the PCI board versus the ATCA class board? Are those 1 gigabit, 10 gigabit, 40 gigabit products? Can you give me a little bit of information on what class of throughput you should expect from those platforms?
Sure. So, GE makes actually designs boards in a variety of form factors, and that includes ATCA, Advanced MC, and PCI Express. And on each of the boards, you get quite a bit of choice of what level of processing and what type of interfaces you can get. So, say, on PCI Express form factor today, you can choose between multiple 1 gigabit Ethernet ports and multiple 10 gigabit Ethernet ports. Same thing is true on the Advanced MC modules. ATCA being a larger board size and also a higher performance blade, you get today multiple 10 gigabits, and it's all moving into 40 gigabit Ethernet area.
Okay. Charlie, can you talk about any Six Wind software that's actually designed into specific telecom equipment products today?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you're lucky enough to have a 4G phone or be using 4G equipment today, there's a good chance that your traffic, whether it could be data, voice, or video, is actually running on equipment that's powered by the Six Wind software. Six Wind Gate has been designed into LTE equipment by probably two-thirds of the Tier 1 telecom equipment manufacturers around the world and already deployed in some of that equipment. So the answer to the question is yes, it's absolutely been designed into telecom equipment products, and your traffic could be running through our software today.
Ah, okay. So here's a good question for Gene. How much effort does it take to get, maybe it's for Gene and Charlie, how much effort does it get, how much effort would it be to get 6WIND software running on one of the GE boards you've shown in the presentation and do their own performance testing with it, like get in their labs, et cetera? Maybe there's some logistical information you can talk about there too.
Yeah, so it's quite simple and quite easy. On the board that 6WIND software has been ported to, you end up getting a binary or perhaps two binaries, one for the fast path and one for the control path. And it kind of boils down to loading these binaries and booting from them. And you get running 6WIND software, and then it's up, interfaces there, the user, the control plane is there, and you can configure and set up your interfaces, the protocols, and run your own benchmarking. So it's really, it's a one-day exercise. I would say it's a hours exercise as opposed to days.
Okay. Well, that seems pretty efficient then. Unfortunately, I think we're coming to the end of our Q&A period. I want to thank you, Gene and Charlie, for taking the time to be with us and share all these important insights on multi-core for 40 gig. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen, and an audio-only podcast will also be made available. You can do a web search using the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. I would also invite you to participate in the Multicore Tech channel at Open Systems Media. You can follow Multicore_Tech on Twitter, and you can also join the Multicore Tech LinkedIn group, where we follow 6WIND, GE, and other movers and shakers in multicore. I also know that Charlie moderates a multicore packet processing group on LinkedIn as well, so be sure you're hooked up there in addition. Thank you all for attending, and have a great day.